We're exploring the wolf population's effect on deer and connecting it to an economic benefit here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could be here. So what if wolves were actually saving drivers' lives because wolves prowl along roadways, either hunt down deer, scare them back into the woods? What are the economics of reducing deer on car crashes? Join in with your thoughts on this theory and implications on the fraught wolf debate, 800-642-1234. Corbett Granger is an economist who studies environmental resource issues, associate professor in UW-Madison's Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics, and co-author of the study. It's called Wolves Make Roadways Safer, Generating Large Economic Returns to Predator Conservation. Corbett, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. I'm happy to be here.
Well, tension's undeniable with your study and when you assert that wolves make our Wisconsin roads safer, keeping deer at bay. But then you look at, you know, over 35 years, Wisconsin has paid out nearly $3 million for wolf depredation, figures from the DNR stopping at April 2020, and that's compensation claims for wolves killing livestock, wolves killing the hunting dog. So give us your economic framework around wolves.
So I'll start off by saying that those losses are real and they are important and they're certainly something that we're cognizant of. But I think, you know, if you take those numbers and put them in perspective relative to deer vehicle collisions, in the U.S., the cost of deer vehicle collisions is about $10 billion per year. And in Wisconsin, there's about 20,000 per year, about 500 injuries, 8 fatalities, and about $200 million in losses. And again, that's an annual number. And so what we look at in the study is how does the reintroduction of wolves affect deer vehicle collisions? And we're able to do that by kind of going back in time, looking at the reintroduction of wolves, as they moved over space and kind of were reintroduced to different parts of the state, and then look to see how that changed the number of and frequency of deer vehicle collisions in those locations.
So you found that whenever wolves first entered a county in Wisconsin, the proportion of road accidents involving deer tended to fall. But how can you trace it back to wolves?
That's a really good question. So what we're doing in this paper is we're using some tools from econometrics. So economists have spent a lot of time and energy working on statistical models so that we can say something causal in kind of a messy environment. If you think of most of the types of things that economists study, they're not lab experiments, right? We're working with observational data, and so economists have developed a pretty complex and useful toolkit for being able to say something causally in an observational setting. And so we're able to control for a lot of, you know, factors that could be confounding, like cross-sectional differences, you know, differences between counties and deer vehicle collisions that are just kind of, that make one county different from the other. What we're doing is looking at kind of within county changes and then seeing how that plays out as wolves are introduced into new counties.
Why does Wisconsin data make it very realistic, or why is it good data to use from Wisconsin versus anywhere else?
Well, we used data from Wisconsin first and foremost because that's where we are, and so this is a, you know, obviously something that's near and dear to the people working here, but it actually is a pretty nice laboratory to look at this because wolves, you know, they were basically completely wiped out from the state, and then as they were reintroduced, it happened gradually. And so what we're looking at is kind of wolf entry into different Wisconsin counties over a span of about 22 years.
So, and I think I learned too that wolf research often takes place in national parks, which are these really controlled places out of way with human conflicts.
Sure.
So your data is, I guess, a more practical look at really how wolves are interacting with a more typical environment.
Yeah, at least an environment where humans come into play, right? So if you're studying them in national parks, speed limits are low. It's, you know, you don't have roads crisscrossing most of it just by design because we're trying to keep it wild. Here, you know, in Wisconsin, we've got roadways all over the place. It's kind of mixed use. We have farms, we have ranches, we have forests, we have cities. And so what we're able to do is kind of, you know, hold that framework constant and then kind of say, all right, what happens when wolves are reintroduced into areas that they used to be? And then what happens to kind of the prevalence of these deer vehicle collisions that are so costly?
Corbett Granger with us, an economist and UW-Madison professor of studies, environmental and resource problems. You can join in. Have you hit a deer with your car? How much did that situation cost you? How have you seen wildlife affect Wisconsin's economy? 800-642-1234. Susan is joining us from Westfield. Hi, Susan. What are your observations?
You know, my observation as somebody who drives the back roads to Adams to work and back every day is there are deer everywhere. And wolves are an incredibly important part of our ecosystem. They were here before us, and being allowing them all to be killed and poached, because frankly, that's what happened with quite a few of them, has left a new problem now where they're everywhere. There isn't a single morning or evening that I don't almost hit a deer. And I know that the problem is a lot worse because they allowed so many wolves to be harvested. And instead of looking at how that might affect our overall well-being here, it was just all about people like hunting wolves without any thought as to whether or not those wolves should be hunted.
Susan, thank you. Corbett, what do you make of Susan's observations on her commute?
So that's something that I hear from people from all over the state and really all over the country. We really have an overabundance of deer. Deer are really prominent. They're all over the place. I live in the western side of Madison, and I even see deer on my commute. And there's really just a few greenways where they can live. But I see them in my street. I see them, you know, even here in town, and definitely when you go up into more rural parts of the state, they're everywhere. Yep.
So why would wolves be more effective or more productive than human deer hunters out there at reducing the amount of deer vehicle collisions?
Well, deer hunting has been kind of the traditional policy lever for us to try to control the abundance of deer populations. But if you look at, you know, how effective it is, it's just a short time horizon that we allow the hunting. And what we find is that, you know, the hunters can't really replicate this effect of wolves because so much of what we find is actually a behavioral effect. So we find that that the reintroduction of wolves does lead to a big decrease in deer vehicle collisions, but that's not just through this mechanism of predation. It's not just that. It's not a mechanical relationship. Deer eat wolves. Wolves eat deer. Therefore, there are fewer deer to hit with cars. Most of it is actually a behavioral effect. So we can attribute about 75% of the effect that we find to what we call a behavioral effect, which looks like wolves are keeping deer away from open spaces where they're more vulnerable.
Yes. What is happening along those roadways? What are those? I mean, can you kind of set us up here as to what that confrontation is like with deer and wolves and along the roads?
That's a really good question, and we can't actually say too much about that given the data that we have.
Okay.
But there have been previous studies and, you know, and kind of casual observations will confirm that wolves do use kind of these open corridors to move kind of quickly and effectively between points. And so, so you can see them occasionally running along the edge of the forest, off of the roadway. And there have been studies that have tried to look at the impact of wolves on deer behavior, but they've been pretty localized and rely on things like collaring.
Yeah, one scientist suggested you need to measure how risk averse deer are, that you need to put GPS collars on wolves and deer and then learn if wolves change their prey's behavior.
And I would absolutely support that type of study because I think it's important to understand exactly what the mechanism is What we can say is it seems like the reintroduction of wolves does change kind of the distribution of deer within a county, and maybe it pushes them away from roads. But we do need more studies to really understand what this behavioral effect looks like.
UW-Madison economist Corbett Granger explaining a study he worked on that measures the economic benefits of wolves as predators, specifically preying on deer, reducing the number of deer car crashes. We'll be back. We'll talk more here in just a minute on the Ideas Network. We're at the intersection, if you will, of evidence that there are economic benefits for wolves preying on deer in Wisconsin and reducing the number of car crashes. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the State Transportation Department, there are roughly 20,000 deer crashes a year. The study published last summer caught the attention of Late Night with Seth Meyers, and it made his news of the week. And so, come on, we have to listen to the clip.
According to a new study, relocating wolves to areas with frequent car accidents caused by deer can reduce collisions by 24%, which almost makes up for the 3,000% increase in wolf attacks.
Ba-dum-tsh. UW economist Corbett Granger with us on the study. Corbett, I'm thinking that that was either your look, Ma, I've made it moment, or the Academy is going up in flames.
You know, this paper was picked up by a lot of media, and that was probably the highlight for me. Yeah.
Well, when I was on your research page, I just gingerly clicked on it, and I was like, because, you know, it's all the usual suspects, New York Times, Washington Post, and then I like, Seth Meyers? Should I really be clicking on this? Well, let's take another call now. Bob is joining us near Superior. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Does your economist that we support with taxes up here in northern Wisconsin understand what hunting heritage is?
So, Bob, what are you asking specifically?
Well, you started touching on it. Why don't you let hunters do it?
Oh, I see.
Do you know what it's like? Does he know what it's like to have a dog? You live up here. You're constantly your own dog, poodle or whatever. You're in constant worry when he gets out at night that the wolves are going to attack the darn thing.
Bob, you bring up a really good point. Corbett, go ahead.
No, I completely sympathize with that. The predation on livestock and pets is something that that we obviously need to be cognizant of. But if we kind of take all of those losses and add them up, it still looks like the economic benefits of having wolves would probably dwarf all of those losses. It's not to say that those losses aren't real and important, and hopefully we could come up with some sort of way to protect those animals and come up with compensation schemes, but it doesn't kind of change the magnitudes of our findings.
Because the raw numbers really can't calculate in the emotional impact as well.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, economists have tried to put numbers on all sorts of losses, including these types of, you know, more emotional losses, trauma. There are ways to try to add those in. Our study doesn't do that. Our study kind of takes the market value of livestock as the cost associated with it. But there's certainly trauma. But my guess is that even if we factor those things in, that it wouldn't change the magnitudes that much.
Let's go to Paris now in Muskego. Hi, Paris.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, yeah, my question is, if your primary endpoint is reducing automobile accidents with wildlife, specifically deer, you know, I feel like primarily what we've done is we've created roads in what traditionally used to be, deer territory. So what's the efficacy of, I've read about other countries doing like wildlife bridges on especially on heavily trafficked roads that safely allow wildlife to go from one side to the other side. What's the efficacy of that in heavily trafficked areas? Because I feel like, you know, one of the potential problems with reintroducing wolves is now you have wolves and deer that it could potentially be crossing the street and you know, we could be hitting them. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Paris, thank you. Corbett.
That's a great question. And if you look at other countries, you know, I spent a lot of time in Northern Europe and in Scandinavia. If you drive through Sweden, one thing that you'll notice is kind of along the main highways, very high fences on either side to keep moose and elk off of the roads. And then these corridors that are basically overpasses for wildlife. So those are very effective, but they're also very costly. Sweden is a relatively sparsely populated country. There aren't that many roads that they need to do that for. And I think that if we tried to do that for all of the highways and then even the county roads here in the state, that would end up being a pretty costly solution.
Hmm.
There are some other, you know, techniques beyond just kind of fencing enclosures, overpasses, or kind of habitat modification, things like fertility control, that are also very expensive and not very effective. Hunting is one, but hunting is kind of, you know, taken a downward turn. And in terms of participation in the state, the number of hunters and the number of hunting days has been going down since about 1982 in the state. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thinking of alternatives to try to kind of mitigate some of these losses and keep deer populations in check, bringing in apex predators is certainly something that looks more cost effective.
We're talking with Corbett Granger, who's an economist at UW-Madison, studies environmental and resource problems as we look at wolves and deer car collisions. You can join in your observations, 800-642-1234. Another interesting piece of this is how could your ecological calculus affect not just wolves and deer collisions, but other things that cause injury and death, like Lyme disease and parts of the ecosystem that keep things that hurt us at bay?
Absolutely. So there's an old quote from Aldo Leopold, one of kind of the first kind of conservationists in the state. Big fan of his work. He had a quote that said, just as a deer herd lives in mortal fear of its wolves, so does a mountain live in mortal fear of its deer. So there's a lot of damage caused by deer beyond, you know, deer vehicle collisions, which is what we look at. There's damages to crops, there's forests, there's the spread of Lyme disease and chronic wasting disease. And if you add up those damages, it adds another $30 billion per year nationally. So on top of the $10 billion in deer vehicle collision costs.
Wow. What is the next step for the research?
You know, that's a good question. I think what we need to know is more about the mechanism, and that's kind of outside of my wheelhouse. So I'm hoping that some ecologists can come in and do some other studies that can tell us, you know, what exactly is generating this effect. And I think, you know, if we're interested in kind of the political calculus and thinking about policies, one thing that that we need to think more about, and this comes back to the call from Bob, is the damages that that we get from wolves. You know, they're pretty concentrated. It's limited to people that live in those areas that may lose a pet or live in fear of losing a pet or livestock. The benefits of wolves are more diffuse. It's spread more evenly across the population. And if you look at, you know, and if you think about some of the other benefits of wolves, a lot of it is existence value, and it's kind of a non-use value where people do value knowing that this species is out in the wild. That's something that's harder to put a number on. But one thing that makes this a challenging issue is that the costs are kind of concentrated, the benefits are more diffuse, and so we need to think more carefully about, you know, how to compensate those who are dealing more directly with the costs of having wolves.
Along those lines, I did look at the DNR's wolf depredation report from last year and counted a little over 100 animals classified as probable or confirmed wolf depredation, and their report so far one this year. But, you know, the vast majority of these reports are on beef cattle or beef calves. We're almost out of time, but your observations there.
That confirms what I've seen, too. The number, again, I keep coming back to this, but the number of losses from wolves are pretty small relative to the magnitudes that we're looking at with these avoided deer vehicle collisions and these other, these other indirect benefits that wolves bring.
Corbett, thank you for joining us and explaining the research.
Well, thanks for having me.
Corbett Granger, Associate Professor in UW-Madison's Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics. We have a link to the research article on wolves. It's at wpr.org/mornings. Just ahead, we look at antitrust law. Are you worried about bid rigging, price fixing, or big companies swallowing up lots of smaller ones? News update is next on the Ideas Network.